In the name of the Holy Trinity of Love. Amen. Please be seated. Do you love me? Says Jesus. Do you love me? Says Jesus to Peter. Do you love me? Says Jesus to each of us. Sometimes we don't hear him asking. Sometimes we are not sure how to respond, or even if we want to. Who is this Jesus to each of us? A personal friend and companion? The person we worship on Sunday? The one we struggle to understand or to believe in? Or the one we love so much we are fired up to share the love of Jesus with others? During this last week, the topic of belief was explored on the ABC program Tomorrow Tonight. Some of you may have watched it. The topic this week was, is belief central to human existence? I recommend, if you haven't seen it, that you might like to catch up with it on ABC iView. It is compelling viewing this last week. Chaired by Annabelle Crabb, the question was posed to panellists, what if God turned out to be very, very real? On the panel, joining the usual panellists, were Nereld Jacobs, journalist and commentator, and Waleed Ali, political commentator and host of the project. And they were guests, along with the usual panellists of Adam Law and Charlie Pickering. It was fascinating to hear each panel member openly articulating their individual belief or faith journeys. Charlie Pickering. He described his journey from atheism as a child to passionate belief through his attendance at an Anglican school, where he was baptized, confirmed, and became an altar boy. And then he went to university, where he was hit with existential questions, intellectual questions that caused him to revert to atheism. But then he met a Jewish woman and loved her, and so not just because of that, he made clear, but he did convert to Judaism. And he said he has found that very fulfilling. And he pointed out that the literal Hebrew meaning of the word Israel is to struggle with God. And he made it clear that he is open to that ongoing struggle with God and who God is. Waleed Ali, a Muslim, as you probably know, described coming to his own belief in Islam after a long process. He started with that family belief system, but then called it into question and doubted, and again intellectually struggled with it. Finally, he came back to it and realized he had no alternative explanation that satisfied him at that point. He couldn't look at himself, he said, and excuse himself from the claim of Islam. He made it clear that he wasn't driven by need, but by being drawn to something larger than himself. Interestingly, he remains open to new experiences. I thought that his humility, Waleed's humility in speaking of this and his ongoing spiritual journeying, was in sharp contrast to the attitude of Richard Dawkins, one of the new atheists, of whom a clip was shown during the program. And moving to Narelda, uniting church, parents, ministers, missionary background, plus charismatic experiences she had. But she said she moved away from it all because ultimately she felt that there were irreconcilable differences between her sexuality and the conservative theology that she was hearing. She is now aligned with her innate, for she is Indigenous, her Aboriginal spirituality. The last question posed to all panellists concerned the evidence for Jesus and whether they would be open to new evidence that confirmed he is who he said he was, and before them was put a box inside which they were told was that evidence, and they were asked the question, would you open the box? Well, I will leave you to watch the program to see who was most open to opening that box of new evidence. In the book of Acts today, we see a man, Saul, who became Paul, who had no option but to believe in Jesus when he was struck by compelling, blinding lights from heaven that was to dramatically transform his heart, his mind, and even his body, his whole life. This voice from heaven is that of the risen, ascended Christ. But we contrast that scene with a quiet beachside fishing scene in John's Gospel, where Jesus in his resurrected body is cooking breakfast. It is an ordinary, yet extraordinary scene, where the risen Jesus, still marked with the wounds of the cross, is engaging intimately with the disciples, feeding them fish. And this is his third appearance to them. And then, in a brief but intense dialogue, Jesus turns to Peter, not only restoring him, thus overcoming the shadow of failure, the denial that rests on Peter, but renewing their relationship at a deep level. Three times, Jesus asks Peter if he loves him. That repetitive questioning of Peter to the very depths of his being is what he needs to lead him from only intellectual assent to a deep emotional response. And as we know, Jesus then commissions Peter to a new leadership role that actually rests on Peter's capacity for love. It is this love for Jesus that will give Peter the authority and leadership in the new Christian community. With this focus on love in today's gospel reading, I was reminded of the mystic and author, the 14th century Saint Catherine of Siena, one of just four women doctors of the church and a co-patron saint of Europe. 2 days ago, on the 29th of April, on Friday, it was her festival day, commemorating the day of her death. She wrote and addressed God in, I think, what is perhaps extreme language to our ears, but of so beautiful words. She said to God, "O mad lover, O fire of love, it was not enough for you to take our humanity. You had to die as well." Like many of her contemporaries, Catherine was drawn to the human Christ as tender lover and spouse, an almost unimaginable intimacy with Christ, whose selfless love for the world led to his suffering and death on the cross. A famous quote of St. Catherine is apt, I think, and in line with the themes in the Acts and John readings today of transformation, restoration, and commissioning out. Her quote, "Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire." Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. Both Saul and Peter, through a deep transformative experience of Jesus, became who God meant them to be, and did indeed set the world on fire. And now, a personal experience of transformation. Someone like Peter, I think, I experienced a reigniting of my call to priesthood, my call to follow Jesus into ordained ministry. This was just a few years ago. I had turned away many years previously, stepped back from ordination, became a psychologist instead. And I did that because I was intellectually struggling with faith and theological issues, although I always remained very much part of the church, as I had from childhood. I used to say to God, as well as to myself, if I could truly, deeply believe, that is, to me, that meant, for me, have my head and my heart come together, then I would have no option but to be ordained. Well, it was during a Lent retreat day at my home church of St. John's, Camberwell, and following a meditation and a period of silence, that I sat at the front of the church, gazing at the sanctuary and at the purple cloth, for it was Lent, the purple cloths on the altar and the lectern. And I was suddenly overwhelmed with an experience of God with me. And an experience, an utter certainty of who I was meant to be. And it was as if things that had been disjointed within me had come together, my heart and my mind, and they were gathered up together in an intense flooding of God's overwhelming love and God's challenging presence. I wept and wept and wept. And I knew at that point that there was nothing more important than to know God and God's love, and to follow through on sharing that love with others. As I looked at the sanctuary and not behind me, I had an image of a church full of people behind me, and a strong longing to proclaim, God is here. Feel, touch, know God's love. Open your eyes. Know that you are utterly loved. Of course, that day in church, there were just a few people who were attending the retreat, quietly praying, and I was still weeping too much to say anything anyway. However, there did come an opportunity later, a few months later, when I was leaving the church to be ordained, to be able to speak of the palpable gift of God's loving presence. And now I know I have no option but to speak of the absolute truth of God's love for each person, that powerful, intense, passionate love and kindness that embraces each of us here and now. We are all invited by Jesus to respond like Peter and to say, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And it is this response that will enable each of us, as St. Catherine of Siena said, to be who God meant you to be, and thus to set the world on fire. Amen.